Today is Friday, April 18th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump's $40 billion health and human services cuts, a prescription for social devastation, by Evan Blake. The Trump administration's plans to cut $40 billion from the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, a staggering reduction of roughly one-third of its discretionary budget, marks an inflection point in the deepening assault on science, public health, and the social rights of the working class in the U.S. and internationally. This unprecedented attack on programs which affect the health and well-being of virtually the entire world's population is a critical component of the fascist program that Trump and his health secretary, the anti-vaccine conspiracy theorist Robert F. Kennedy Jr., seek to implement. It is a conscious effort to roll back more than one century of social progress and scientific achievement and will have catastrophic consequences. The cuts, detailed in an internal memorandum obtained by the Washington Post and published Wednesday night, include the following. From the National Institutes of Health, budget slashed from $47 billion to $27 billion, a 40% reduction. The number of NIH institutes and centers is to be cut from 27 to 8, with the elimination of the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities and the National Institute of Nursing Research. Hundreds of research grants, including those on vaccine hesitancy, transgender health, and COVID-19, are to be canceled. Thousands of scientists will be laid off, accelerating a mass exodus of expertise from the U.S. From the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the budget is to be cut by 44% from $9.2 to $5.2 billion. All chronic disease programs, including those targeting heart disease, obesity, diabetes, domestic HIV care, smoking cessation, are to be eliminated, exposing Kennedy's claims to be fighting America's chronic disease epidemic as nothing but hot air. Staff working on drowning prevention, gun violence, worker safety, and sexually transmitted disease testing have already been laid off. From Head Start, complete elimination of federal funding, cutting off early childhood education and care for 750,000 low-income children. This will devastate working families, particularly in rural areas where Head Start is often the only non-family child care provider, forcing parents out of the workforce and deepening social inequality. This cut by itself will outrage tens of millions of people whose children have benefited or are benefiting from the program. Rural health programs, elimination of grants for rural hospitals, residency developments, and state offices of rural health, threatening to shutter critical access points for millions in rural America. Trump ran up huge vote margins in rural areas during the 2024 election, thanks to the long record of neglect and austerity on the part of Democratic Party administrations. Now he's seeking to outdo all previous administrations in the destruction of rural infrastructure. From the Food and Drug Administration, funding set at the bare minimum to allow continued collection of industry fees, threatening the agency's ability to regulate drug and device safety. The agency is one of those turned over to the control of a right-wing opponent of public health measures to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic, Martin McCary. Coinciding with these massive cuts, which will directly worsen the health of millions of Americans, Kennedy is creating a new $20 billion agency with the Orwellian title, Administration for a Healthy America. The central purpose of this new agency is to consolidate and eliminate numerous prevention-focused programs, including those for childhood lead poisoning, healthcare workforce development, and ALS patient registries. Funding for policy and research will be tightly controlled by Kennedy, who is launching initiatives that will serve as vehicles for anti-scientific eugenicist policies. These cuts are not cost-saving measures, as claimed by the White House. They represent a deliberate fascistic effort to destroy the infrastructure of scientific research and public health that underpins modern society. The aim is to return the working class to conditions of social misery and industrial exploitation not seen since the 19th century. The HHS cuts were revealed just 2 weeks after Kennedy imposed the layoffs of over 20,000 HHS workers, roughly a quarter of the federal public health workforce. These included 80% of staff at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, which is responsible for workplace safety and disease monitoring, and the gutting of agencies tracking infectious diseases, monitoring chemical exposures, enforcing food and drug safety, and more. At the same time, the administration has imposed gag orders on scientific agencies, erased public health data from thousands of government websites, and elevated anti-science quacks like Jay Bhattacharya to positions of power. The CDC and NIH, once global leaders in disease prevention, have been crippled. the U.S. has withdrawn from the World Health Organization and the PEPFAR program, which provides life-saving HIV/AIDS treatment to over 20 million people in low-income countries, faces elimination. On the same day that the HHS cuts were revealed, Nature published the results of recent modeling, which underscores the vast global ramifications of these policies. The study found that if the United States were to end all global health funding, including for HIV, tuberculosis, malaria, and maternal and child health programs, an estimated 25 million people would die preventable deaths over the next 15 years. These include 15 million from HIV/AIDS alone due to the cutoff of PEPFAR funding, and over 7 million child deaths from other causes. The model projects that by 2040, HIV deaths would surge by over 50% and tuberculosis infections would rise by 69 million worldwide. Even partial cuts, such as maintaining only HIV treatment programs, would still result in millions of additional deaths and a catastrophic reversal of decades of public health progress. Furthermore, the dismantling of pandemic surveillance and response programs, including the CDC's Global Health Center and the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine, means that the U.S. and world population are now flying blind in the face of growing threats like H5N1 bird flu. Both Kennedy and USDA head Brooke Rollins have openly floated a proposal to allow bird flu to spread unchecked on poultry farms, risking the emergence of a strain capable of human-to-human transmission. The Trump-Kennedy war on science represents a continuation and deepening of the criminal policies of the Biden administration, which normalized mass infection and the abandonment of public health during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Both capitalist parties have subordinated science and social needs to the interests of the corporate financial oligarchy, paving the way for today's unbridled social counter-revolution. The trade union bureaucracies, in particular the American Federation of Government Employees, have done nothing to oppose these attacks on science and the working class. Instead, they've stifled the enormous opposition of the rank-and-file public health workers, isolating them and allowing them to be fired en masse. The defense of science, public health, and social rights cannot be entrusted to these reactionary bureaucrats. Public health workers across all HHS agencies must organize independently, building rank-and-file committees to unite with workers globally through the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, the IWARFC. Such committees would serve as a democratic center of opposition to the Trump-Kennedy war on science, fighting for the following demands and more. For an immediate reversal of all cuts to HHS and the expansion of funding for NIH, CDC, Head Start, rural health programs, and all public health agencies. For the immediate rehiring of all fired scientists and public health workers with expanded hiring to meet the needs of society. For guaranteed free, universal access to health care, early childhood education, and preventive medicine as basic social rights. For an end to all gag orders and censorship of scientific research and the restoration of expansion of public access to health data. For the initiation of a global program to eliminate COVID-19, H5N1, and other infectious diseases through mass testing, vaccination, infrastructure renovation to provide clean air and other basic public health measures. For the establishment of democratic workers' oversight of public health and scientific institutions, breaking the stranglehold of the corporate elite and anti-science ideologues. The defense of science and public health is inseparable from the fight for socialism. The international working class is the only force capable of defeating the fascist danger represented by Trump, Kennedy, and the capitalist oligarchy they serve. Workers must unite across national borders, industries, and professions to build a mass socialist movement in alliance with scientists and progressive layers of the middle class. We urge public health workers and scientists to join and build the Socialist Equality Party, the SEP. Attend and participate in the upcoming International May Day online rally, where workers and youth from around the world will chart a path forward in the struggle for socialism, science, and human progress. You can register for the 2025 International May Day online rally at wsws.org/May Day. Appeals Court Rules Trump Trampling on Due Process in Abrego Garcia Deportation Case by Patrick Martin. The Trump administration is engaged in the systematic trampling on the rights of due process, which are, quote, the foundation of our constitutional order, end quote, a three-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals declared Thursday. The appeals panel denied an emergency appeal by the Trump administration against rulings made by District Court Judge Paula Zinis, who is hearing the suit brought by Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia and his family against Abrego Garcia's detention and deportation to a torture prison in El Salvador. The ruling, authored by Judge Harvey Wilkinson III, one of the most senior and most conservative of appeals court judges nominated by Republican Ronald Reagan in 1983, is written in extremely blunt language. Quote, "It is difficult, in some cases, to get to the very heart of the matter, but in this case it is not hard at all. The government is asserting a right to stash away residents of this country in foreign prisons without the semblance of due process that is the foundation of our constitutional order. Further, it claims in essence that because it has rid itself of custody that there is nothing that can be done. This should be shocking not only to judges, but to the intuitive sense of liberty that Americans far removed from courthouses still hold dear." End quote. The opinion addresses the claims by Trump officials that Abrego Garcia is a gang member and a terrorist, responding, quote, "Perhaps, but perhaps not. Regardless, he is still entitled to due process. If the government is confident of its position, it should be assured that position will prevail." End quote. The opinion excoriates the Department of Justice for word juggling over a Supreme Court decision last week instructing the Trump administration to facilitate Abrego Garcia's release from custody in El Salvador while telling Judge Zinis to remove the word effectuate from her order. Quote, "Facilitate is an active verb. The plain and active meaning of the word cannot be diluted by its constriction, as the government would have it, to a narrow term of art. Facilitation does not permit the admittedly erroneous deportation of an individual to the one country's prisons that the withholding order forbids, and, further, to do so in disregard of a court order that the government not so subtly spurns. Facilitation does not sanction the abrogation of habeas corpus through the transfer of custody to foreign detention centers in the manner attempted here. Allowing all this would facilitate foreign detention more than it would domestic return. It would reduce the rule of law to lawlessness and tarnish the very values for which Americans of diverse views and persuasions have always stood." End quote. The appeals court opinion goes on to identify the most important potential consequence of the precedent set by the mass deportation of Venezuelan and Salvadoran immigrants to the notorious Cicot prison in El Salvador. Quote, "If today the executive claims the right to deport without due process and in disregard of court orders, what assurance will there be tomorrow that it will not deport American citizens and then disclaim responsibility to bring them home? And what assurance shall there be that the executive will not train its broad discretionary powers upon its political enemies? The threat, even if not the actuality, would always be present." End quote. After dismissing the spectacle of Trump and Bukele meeting at the White House and both claiming they lack the power to return Abrego Garcia to his family, leaving the imprisoned migrant in limbo, the three-judge panel concludes with a warning that Trump is destabilizing and potentially discrediting the entire U.S. constitutional structure. The executive branch and the judiciary were, quote, "grinding irrevocably against one another in a conflict that promises to diminish both. This is a losing proposition all around," end quote. While the executive branch might prevail in the immediate conflict with the courts, quote, "the executive will lose much from a public perception of its lawlessness and all of its attendant contagions," end quote. The full meaning of this declaration should be thought about seriously. After Trump has been in office less than 100 days of his second term, one of the highest courts in America is warning that his administration's conduct threatens to completely discredit the U.S. government in the eyes of the American people. Given their role as high-level defenders of corporate America and the capitalist state, such a pronouncement by appeals court judges is a further indication of the political crisis within the ruling elite. It is not only impoverished immigrant workers like Abrego Garcia who must fear the police state methods of Trump and his gang of fascist criminals. American citizens, congressmen, even robed judges could be whisked away by masked federal agents and shipped off to concentration camps located wherever the military intelligence apparatus finds convenient. The appeals court ruling came less than 24 hours after Federal District Judge James Boasberg, who initially handled the mass deportations to El Salvador, but not the specific case of Abrego Garcia, issued an opinion that there was clear evidence that administration officials were in contempt of court for defying his order to halt the deportation flights on the ground or turn the planes around if they had already taken off. Boasberg indicated he would continue pressing to identify the official who made the decision to defy the order. Two of the flights had already taken off and did not turn back, according to press accounts, while the third flight was still loading and took off well after Boasberg banned it. As a practical matter, Boasberg's probe is unlikely to lead to criminal contempt charges even if he succeeds in finding out the name of the official. If it is Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem or one of the officials of DHS, Trump could simply pardon them. If it is Trump himself, he is immunized from criminal prosecution by the Supreme Court's decision last summer in Trump v. United States. In another intervention last week, the Supreme Court ruled that those deported as a result of Trump's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act could only challenge their treatment on an individual basis by filing for writs of habeas corpus in the state where they were being held before the flights to El Salvador, in this case, Texas. Judge Boasberg thus no longer has jurisdiction over the deportation flights, but he can still impose sanctions on officials who defied his order during the time that it was in effect. Judge Boasberg set an April 23 hearing for the Trump administration to respond to the potential contempt charges and to supply further information about the decision-making process of the deportation flights. Judge Sinis has set an April 28 hearing for the administration to respond to her demands for information on what actions it is taking to facilitate the return of Abrego Garcia. She also suggested that criminal contempt charges could be brought if the Department of Justice again fails to comply. More details have emerged on the entirely arbitrary process by which immigrants were grabbed for detention and deportation to El Salvador. According to Documented, an immigrant-focused publication in New York City, 19-year-old Miguel Gutierrez was in the vicinity when ICE agents seized another man, and they decided to add him despite his lack of any criminal record or even tattoos. He and his father arrived in 2023 from Venezuela and have an active immigration court case seeking asylum. Neither Miguel or anyone in his family has any ties to El Salvador or to gangs. In another case, Venezuelan migrant Neri Jose Alvarado Borges was falsely identified by ICE as a gang member because of an autism awareness tattoo featuring a rainbow-colored ribbon made of puzzle pieces, along with the name of his autistic brother. Borges has an active asylum claim and was working legally at a local bakery in Fort Worth, Texas, at the time he was detained. Also on Thursday afternoon, the Supreme Court announced it would hear arguments on May 15 over Trump's executive order purporting to end birthright citizenship, which has been the policy of the U.S. government since its establishment in the 14th Amendment in 1868. The unsigned order denied the request by the Trump administration to lift lower court orders blocking the executive action, saying that this would be discussed at the May 15 hearing. The Department of Justice claimed that the issuance of orders by district courts that applied to government policy nationwide was unconstitutional. However, lawyers for the Republican Party and various ultra-right and fascist groups made frequent use of such district court orders during the Biden administration, using small federal districts where they could be sure of finding a judge willing to strike down Biden's policies on issues like immigration and abortion. The issue would be one of the most fundamental ever to reach the Supreme Court, with Trump seeking to overturn the landmark 1898 Supreme Court decision that held that the language of the 14th Amendment clearly confers citizenship on all those born within the boundaries of the U.S., whatever the citizenship status of their parents, except for those born to foreign diplomats. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.